How's that? Ah, hooray. Okay, so the reading today is my favourite reading in the Bible because I'm bequeathing it to you. It's a special word for me that God gave me far too long ago, 19 years ago, I think. I still haven't had the fulfillment of all that God has said to me through this scripture, but I really felt it was for you today, and it's in Haggai chapter 2 and verses 1 to 9. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. God is doing that right now, isn't he? He's shaking all nations. And what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. You hear the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty. It's the God of angel armies, yeah? That's what the prophets, it's the prophet's name for God. You know, the prophets all call him the God of angel armies. We got one more verse, I think, which is near the end. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Such a nice promise for any church, isn't it? And person. So I'm sorry if I've told you this story. It's really quite difficult when you come as often as I do to remember what you've said and what you haven't. And it's such a good story, you won't care. So it's about a guy, some of you will have heard him speak, Ian Andrews. And he had a huge ministry already, but he was going through a really, really tough time. And he was as dry as a bone, he said. He just didn't feel God close to him. He didn't feel really full of the Spirit. And he was invited to go out to Minneapolis, Scottish guy. He was invited to go out to Minneapolis to preach. And he said that the only reason he went was Minneapolis had a really good golf course. And he thought, I'll go and play golf. And so he took a canned message, you know, that he'd done many times before, stuck it in his briefcase and went off to Minneapolis. And to his fury, when he woke up on the Sunday morning, it had snowed everywhere, really deep. And he was like, I can't even go and play golf tomorrow. And he stormed off to the church, and he discovered the church were absolutely so excited. And he was like, what's this? And they said, we had this guy, wandering prophet called Bob Jones, who came past, and he said, when the snow is above the ankles, the Lord will fall on the church. And he was thinking, oh, great. Here I am, my worst ever. And the Lord's supposed to be, oh, man. So he gets out his little canned message, stands up, starts to preach. And there's this kind of, in front of him. And he looks up and this woman said, can you see them? So he turns around, can't see anything, turns back. Everybody in the congregation is like this. He said, see what? There's seven angels behind you. He says, everyone see it? Yeah. Okay. He's like, repent. God, I'm so sorry. Please fill me. Please do something. You know, you would, wouldn't you? Anyway, so then the Lord starts speaking. And he says, the Lord said, each of the the angels has a bowl, and I want you to pour the bowl out. So he acted out, can't see the angels, but goes, and as he does it, the Lord starts to speak. And the first bowl, as he opened it, the Lord said, I want my church back from the leaders. And he said, every one of the leaders in this particular church were kind of very gifted, and so they were all going off in their own giftings, but kind of crossing over. And he said, I want the church back from the leaders. Well, he'd hardly said it. Then there was a stampede for the front. All the leaders rushed to the front, fell on their faces. God, have your church back. You know, we don't want to hold this church. And the second bowl is, he said, many people have been hurt in church politics, you know, and they want to forgive, but their spirits don't seem to be able to forgive. And so I'm, you know, what I'm going to do is pour out a spirit of forgiveness on the church, which is fantastic. And the next one is 60% of this church is female. You know, women's ministry is no longer an option. You know, and all the men come out and start repenting to the women. Very good. Goes on for seven bowls. And at which point, you know, God so came upon the church that, I mean, his ministry, which was supposed to be for one day, went on for 19 days. And over 19 days, he had a dream every night where the Lord said what he was going to do in the church the next day. And I'm telling these stories about revival and things because I want to waken in our hearts a longing, you know, for it to be here. I want it to be here. Don't you? And so one of the guys who was sitting there had been embezzling his firm to the extent of $28,000. And, of course, the Lord came on the group and he got convicted straight away. So he goes in to the managing director on the Monday morning and he says, and he tells him. And he said, well, how did you do it? Because it hasn't come up in, you know, the audits or anything. And he tells him how, he said, you were so clever. Why did you bother to tell us? You know, I mean, we'd have never got it. And the guy said, knowing that he's going to lose his job probably, he says, well, God came to our church. And the guy says, can I come? you know, on day four, I think it was, the Lord's word was, I want you to pray for the children between the ages of 5 and 12 for healing gifts to come. And, sorry, I'm just bending this because I'm trying to talk. Is that better? Looks weird, but better. Pray for the children. So he gets the children to stand up. And he said, you know, if you've ever tried to set loose children between the ages of 5 and 12 to go around praying for the sick, he said it was chaos. They were sort of skipping about, you know, singing, doing things, and then laying the odd hand on someone here and there. And he thought, I can't really think anything's happening. And the Lord said, get people who've been healed to form a line. So he says, okay, I will. So he and there's a line going all the way around the church, okay? So the first lady who came up, she said that she was prayed for by two little girls aged between 8 and 10. And they came up to her and they said, have you got something like cotton wool balls filling up your lungs? And she had cancerous growths in both her lungs. And they prayed for her and God totally healed her. She went back to the medics. She had all the x-rays done and there was no sign of even operation scar, no scar tissue, no tumour, nothing. Two little girls, 8 and 10. Because you see, the Lord doesn't really need us to be that brilliant, does he? And then the man behind her looked really strange to Ian Andrews because he had his trousers were halfway up his legs. And he said, well, you all know me, you know, for 28 years I was in a car accident 28 years ago and damaged my spine. I've had a steel plate in my spine. Everyone knows that I've been bent double for 28 years. And now look, I can stand completely upright. The only thing is I need new trousers. And then the lady behind that, he said, if you have ever heard anything about being drunk in the spirit, this was drunk in the spirit. He said she was just hilarious. And she'd been in a terrible car accident and her arm had been severed and they'd been able to sew it back, but she couldn't use it properly. And two little boys came up and prayed for her and she could use it absolutely perfectly. And he said she spent half an hour dancing on the roof of her car, and the car wasn't too good, but she was fine. And he said the children were going around. Some of the children were going around with their fingers in their ears, and they were saying, "Why are you doing?" And they said, "Can't you hear it?" And the adults couldn't. And basically, the singing of the angels was so loud, the children, you know, were saying, "Oh, it's too loud! It's too loud!" And you know, God said this to the church: "I don't send revival; I come myself." That's what we want, isn't it? That's what I want. And you know, as I was thinking about that story that I told you earlier, you know, about the young man who all he said was, "Oh God, you promise," you know, and God fell. Start to do that as a church. Start to begin. Remember some of the promises that God has made you, both individually, as individuals yourselves, and as a church, and begin to say, "Oh God, you promised." You know, promised that you'd be a tent that would stretch right out, wasn't it? That's one of the promises. You know, there are so many promises over this church. Now, this is the time to say, "Oh God, you promised." One of the things that I really hoped someone would say when you were making covenants, so I'll just tell you now. One of the covenants I would really love you to consider making is to never speak ill of anybody else within this church, and never to hear ill of anyone else in this church. We set up a church on a housing estate, and there was a whole bunch of us that were invited to go, and it was quite funny because actually the vicar who invited us just creamed off the whole of the leadership of our church, and we all went as well, which is even funnier. But we were all kind of leaders. Every one of us was leaders, and we entered into a covenant on the first night that we all met together in the church. We said we will not speak ill of anyone else, because we were all quite strong characters and we didn't all act the way each other would like. We won't do it. And unless the person is present, we will not say, you know, we won't hear anything critical. And it was so brilliant, you know. We were such a tight team, really strong. And that is a covenant, you know, that I think you guys need to make. I think every church needs to make it. Sometimes when I'm a visiting speaker so often, I can't even get in from the front door to the, you know, the back door rather, to the front of the church without two or three people telling me how dreadful the vicar or the pastor or whatever is. And, you know, we need to be those people who enter into covenant with each other as well as with God. You know, that is part of what covenant is, making those promises. God, we're going to stand together. So anyway, I'm just going to say a few things about Haggai, and then there's something I'd like us to do. So Israel's been in exile for 70 years by this time, and Solomon's magnificent great big temple, it's all in ruins. And finally, the people of God say, "Right, that's enough. We're going to go and, you know, rebuild the house of the Lord." And guess what happens? The enemy rises up straight away to demoralize the builders, and it stops for years. And just as the work of God starts to take off in your life and in your church, that is what happens every time. And they come along and they say, "Remember how things were? It used to be so much better." I don't think I've ever belonged to a church where that didn't happen at some point. People are going, "Oh, do you remember the good old days?" And discouragement comes in, doesn't it? And fear and, you know, all that kind of thing. And then the enemy goes for direct accusation, you know. And I believe God's word for you, Brendan, can you get up the beginning, verse 4, I think, around there, 3 and 4, because I think God's word for you here at Hope Church is take courage now, might be the one before. Verse 3, thank you. No, I'll look it up, it's much easier. Which verse is it? It's different. Oh, it's a different version, that's always difficult, isn't it? It's take courage now and work, is what it says. For I am with you, says the Lord. And that's the first challenge. I think God is saying to you all in this church, take courage and start to move forward again. And my promise remains in your midst. Do not fear. You know, I really feel that the Lord today, it's a really special day that we're living in, because if you look at what's happening over the Levant, you know, over the Middle East generally, God is shaking the nations, isn't he? He's shaking everything that can be shaken. And I think at the same time, the enemy is shaking as well, isn't he? And he's shaking the people of God. And God says, I'm shaking. When you go through a time of shaking, take notice of what this says. It's so that only the important stuff remains, okay? God's shaking so that all the rubbish falls out. And at that same time, God says this great promise. And this is the promise that I feel is for you in Hope Church Corby. That's why I feel I'm bequeathing it to you, because it's my special promise. And it is, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And I really believe God is saying that over you as a people, that there is much more glory to be had, much, much more. And you know what happens when you start a church like you guys have and like we have, you know, our church down in Exeter, everything whooshes off to begin with because it's so, you know, the Lord is with you. I'm not suggesting he's not now, but, you know, he's particularly with you when you start something and you work and stuff. And then, you know, you sort of, you hit a kind of plateau, don't you? And then it's that point that God is saying, up and over, and I have much, much more to give you than this. And, you know, Haggai and Zechariah come in and they have two words, and they're almost the same word. Haggai comes in and he says, you know, the glory of the latter house will be greater. And Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's what he's wanting to say to you guys at the moment. You know, really, really seek his spirit. Call special days of prayer. You know, call special months of prayer. I don't care what you do, but seek his spirit because he's there to be found at this moment. He wants the glory of the latter house to be greater than the former. And I want to just look very briefly at some of the guys that God brings in at this time, because I think it's significant for you and your church. So first one is Zerubbabel. His name just means descended from Babylon. And his father's name, Shealtiel, means asked of God. I asked God. I have asked God. So right back in the time of exile, there's someone crying out to God, oh God, please come. Please come and do something. Who are your intercessors? Have you got some real people that you know are intercessors in this church? There's not a, only dear Damien is nodding here, so I'm hoping there are some. But if not, find them, because they will be here. God always brings in people who've got a heart for prayer and start to invest in them. You know, God has had faithful intercessors. One of my favorite stories actually is about you, Damien, which is when you were ever so young, I can't remember, when you were just newly Christian, you went and stood on that mound, didn't you, and said, I want to build a church here. And that was where they built the school that you first, you know, that Hope Church was started in. Because someone was faithfully interceding and say, and dreaming big, you know, before God. When did you last do that? When did you go out somewhere and say, God, I'm going to dream big. I want to see this happen in my lifetime. In fact, I'd like to see it quite soon. I'm really running out of time here. I'm saying to the Lord, I've had this promise for a long time now. 63, I want it to happen. So we really do need to cry out to God and get the vision at that point. Because God births in you. I think God births in you sometimes more in the tough times than in the good times. That's when things are birthed in you. And when you hold on in faith, you know, and there hasn't been a word. I don't know if you, you've got quite a few subcultures in your own church, which I think is really nice, because I've been going to these Anglican churches for a while that, you know, are just all very sort of British and Caucasian. I love subcultures. And when we lived in London, you know, I used to go and visit one of my West Indian friends, you know, and you'd walk in through the door and you ceased to be in Britain. You know, the colours were all different, the accent was different, the smell of the cooking was so gorgeous. And, you know, you were in another country. And as time went on, you know, we visited Iraqis and it was the same thing. And all, you know, people from Pakistan, you know, we'd go in and we'd go in and it would be a different place. Now, this is what Eugene Peterson says, listen to this, I think it's brilliant. He says, we are to be a colony of heaven in a country of death. You and I, we're meant to be a subculture of heaven in a place which is actually dying, you know, dying hopes, dying faith, dying people, you know, and we're meant to be this kind of subculture of heaven that makes something different. I read about a gentleman who was a management consultant, and he gave all these talks, you know, to people in management, and he thought to himself, he's Christian, he thought, why is it God says that love is the most important thing that we should do, and I never speak about loving your employees? So he did. The next time he started talking about it, and there was a lady there, she thought, I'll give it a go. So she went back to her business, and it was one of these big businesses where you weren't encouraged to fraternize with anyone else. You got into your cubicle and you went for it, you know, you worked. So when it came to coffee time, she went off down the hall and knocked on the guy's door, and she said hi, and he freaked out. He thought she was coming to sack him because nobody ever talked to you. And she said, no, I just thought I'd like to get to know you. And she had coffee with him, and that was it. And she did that with somebody different every day for a number of months. Well, suddenly, one day, the managing director walks into her office and he said, what the hell have you been doing? And she said, I don't know. What have I been doing? He said, we were about to go bankrupt. And suddenly, the whole thing turned around. The money started pouring in. I've gone to every single department and they all say it's something to do with you. And all she'd done was go talk to them and love them for Jesus Christ. You know, she didn't harangue them with the gospel or anything. She was just being, you know, a bit of heaven in a country of death. She was being a subculture, if you like. She was being part of what heaven is. And, you know, that's what we want for Hope Church, isn't it? A complete otherness about us, in a good way, that people are longing for. Joshua is the high priest, and he's an interesting character because if you read Zechariah, there's a kind of picture of Joshua being covered with dirty clothes because he represents the people, and the people have been, you know, not been walking with God, and he's covered with dirty clothes. And he comes before God in heaven, and all the angels are around, and the enemy, Satan, is there, and the enemy is accusing, look how dirty he is. And the Lord says, change his clothes. And actually, let's just say, this is your, you know, those of you who are in leadership, that is your job, as it were, is to come before the Lord, representing your people, and let the Lord say, right, now's the time to change their clothes. You know, I'm going to call them, if they are repentant, I'm going to call them clean. And whenever God gives fresh clothes to people in the Bible, it's always, you know, because he's going to do something new. And there was a time when I felt he was saying to me that he was going to give me a fresh set of clothes, and I was thinking, oh, what's that about? And he just said, it is to conceal you and to reveal me. You know, and that's what I want. Isn't that what you want? You know, that when people meet you, they meet Jesus. They meet Jesus straight away. I'm so keen for more of that, really. And so that more, you know, I can just start talking to someone straight away because they've met Jesus. And then Haggai comes along, such a cool prophet. You know, his name means celebration. You know, I hope you've got a few celebration prophets in your, you know. We used to be in a church where there were one or two prophets who used to get up, and by the time they'd finished, you were kind of on the floor, you know. You're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Purpose of prophecy, it says in the New Testament, is to build us up, okay? And Haggai, Peterson says this about him. He says his single task carried out in a 3.5 month period was to just get the people to build the temple. Just 3.5 months. That's all we know of Haggai. I'm sure he did some good things outside of the 3.5 months. But from God's point of view, that was the thing. He was just there to do what God had called him to do. And what God calls you to do is, you know, to move in your gifting. Now, I hope you'll forgive me for saying this because I know I'm a visitor, but I have been a long time, so I hope you don't mind me saying this. But when I first used to come, I couldn't get from the car park to the front door without being stopped by two or three people who said, I was praying for you before you arrived, and this is the picture I had, and this is the word I had. And then when I'd finished preaching, people would come bustling up to me and say, you know, when you were preaching, I had this amazing... I was so blessed. It's one of the things that was the characteristic of Hope Church Corby, and I'm sure it still is, but I've found the last few times that I've come, I haven't heard quite so much of it. And I was going to say that with great joy, and then Andy Harris went and ruined it by sending me a picture this morning on text. But actually, what I'm saying is reclaim some of that stuff. You know, reclaim it, because you guys, of all people, you're really good at hearing the voice of God. So I hear the voice of God. You know, because once we are those people who are seeking to hear the voice of God, we become the voice of God into the neighborhood, don't we? And I believe increasingly that you guys are meant to become the voice of God into the neighborhood. Are you doing all right? It's quite warm, isn't it? I don't know if there's anything that could be switched off, but if there is, that might keep everyone awake. Zechariah then means Yah remembers, God remembers. And, you know, we need lots of Zecharias. We need people, I guess, whose lives are so full of Jesus, you know, that they, when you meet someone who's not even a Christian, they know that God has remembered them. There's just a feeling that God has remembered me. And, you know, if you look through your own personal history, you'll find God hasn't forgotten you. You know, you'll remember the things that he's promised. Well done, that's fantastic. Now we'll all freeze to death, but never mind. Keep you awake. Very good. And, you know, God can't forget his promises, it says in the Bible. He can't forget to be gracious. The only thing he has a rotten memory for is your sin, once you've, you know, told him about it and asked his forgiveness. So, the Lord has not forgotten you. Wherever you are in this process, God has not forgotten you. And then I really love Nehemiah's name. Nehemiah's name means God's compassion, Nehemiah, compassion of Yah. And his father's name is Hekaliah, which is darkness of Yah. You know, they've been in a time of real darkness, and out of it comes compassion. And that's what God is saying to us. Some of you have been through times of real darkness, been talking to various ones of you. You've had tough times, and God is saying, out of that darkness, you will know my compassion. I've been watching something that just breaks my heart every time I see it. It's 8 minutes long, YouTube clip of a church in Egypt. I don't know if you've seen it. And these guys... some of their husbands and sons and stuff have been killed by ISIL. And it is the most moving thing. The pastor standing there with the tears in his eyes, just leading his people. The enemy is the enemy. People are not the enemy. Let's pray for ISIL. We love these people. We want them to meet with Jesus. There's women standing up saying, my son was killed last week, but I don't consider these people the enemy. They need Jesus. I'm praying for them to be forgiven. You know, and you've got wives who've lost their husbands crying out to God. It's the most moving clip you could ever see, because that's what we're meant to be like, guys. I mean, isn't that much more exciting than, you know, just sort of trucking along to church? I mean, we're meant to be doing something so extraordinary in our society that people cannot but see Jesus. So I'm going to say one more thing, and then we're going to have a little break, and then I'm going to say some more. But the last person is Ezra the priest, and he's a really scary guy, because he is constantly bringing the people back to repentance. All Ezra's bothered about is that they clean up. And we really need that. We have such an emphasis today, and it's a lovely emphasis in the charismatic church, on the love of Jesus, you know, and the fact that he loves us, that he's good, that he's kind to us, that he's for us. But it does sometimes get in the way of us cleaning up. And I just want to say yet again to you, if you're up for it, the cleaner you get, the more power you get. I'm spending my time at the moment thinking about that bit in the Old Testament, you know, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And I want that to go everywhere I go. I want to be followed by the, well, you know, preceded by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I want God to be so filling me that his power is really obvious. And so what I thought I'd like to do right now is to just spend a few moments And I know that's partly why I wanted the heating off, so that you wouldn't nod off in this particular bit when you closed your eyes. But I really think that it would be great if you as a church hear the voice of God again, first of all for you, the church. I want to hear what God wants to say over Hope Church Corby, and I'm sure some of you guys in the leadership will get that. But I really want to encourage you, if you've never stood up before and had a word for anybody, but you know God has given you something, I don't care how much your heart is pounding, stand up and give it, okay? Because it's really, we want to hear it. We want to hear what God has to say. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, then we're going to have a bit of silence. If you really think you're in danger of nodding off, keep your eyes open and look at the floor, but hear the voice of God, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that the very first thing that you did in the Bible was to speak. And God said, Lord, we thank you that everything about you is wanting to communicate with us, your children, and we want to say to you as a people of God, we want to hear you. We want to hear your voice this afternoon, and we want to hear what you are saying to us, your people here in Corby. And so, Lord, we submit to you. We submit our thoughts to you. We don't want anything that we get to be our thoughts. We only want your thoughts, Jesus. And we resist the devil. We bind anything from the evil one so that we only hear God's voice. And now, Lord, we really want to come close and hear what you have to say. We just wait before you. I'll tell you when you can start sharing. We'll just wait in silence. Lord, come and speak to us with pictures, words, hymn verses, scripture, however you want to speak. As and when somebody's got something, just stand up or come to the microphone if you wouldn't mind and just share with us. Tony.
This is a picture that came to me a bit earlier when Adam was up the front, just saying about how at times there's been some pain associated with being in two sites. And the picture came to me of a bakery, and there are two parts to it that are painful. That when you take, if you're a baker, you make a big lump of dough, and it comes a point when you get it all out on the table and you slice off a lump, and that's quite a painful thing to watch. And then it rests for a while and it goes in the oven, and that is also, there's an increase in the temperature and there's some heat associated with that. But the end result at the end of the day is fresh bread for the hungry.
Yeah.
And it's just a little picture to take away.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant, thank you. I had, I got this picture for an individual here, but actually, as I was praying then, I think it's for the whole church. So it was a picture of a fishing rod and a fishing net next to each other. And the rod, of course, you catch fish, some small, some big, but you catch them one at a time. But the net, you get a whole load all at once. And I just felt that God was saying that he's going to move you from the rod to the net. So that's my prayer. Lord, I do pray that. I pray that you'd move the members of this church from that kind of leading one person at a time to you, to seeing, you know, large numbers of people coming to you. Lord, I don't know how you are going to do that. And I guess they will have to plan to make that happen. But I pray, Father, that if this is from you, that it would be seen to be true in this next year. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Would you come here so people can hear you? Yeah. Do you mind?
God shows that the river comes down from the mountains and floods the whole of the plains. It's called, he showed me that it was the Okavango River. And what happens for those few weeks and months after that is it brings life to everything that's been laying dormant and dead, and things that have been there for years. Sometimes there's this particular frog that can live underground in the dryness for about 4 years, and then suddenly with that water coming. But I saw lots of people standing on the banks and not wanting to get into the water, not wanting to get into that life giving water. And that's what God has showed me, that he wants us to get in the water, to get into his presence, so that he can give us life and like a refreshing and whatever he has for us.
Fantastic. So, you know, the man went from the east with a line, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me into the water, which reached the ankles, and he measured another 1,000 cubits, and it reached the knees, and he measured 1,000, and led me through the waters, and it reached the loins, and he measured another 1,000, and it was a river I could not ford, for the river had risen, enough river to, water to swim in, and wherever the river went, the sea became fresh. Lord, we want that. We thank you for that word, Lord. And where there's been dry land in our lives, we just invite your spirit again to flood the land, Lord. That, and we pray, Lord, we pray for so much of your spirit. Jesus, we pray for so much of your spirit to fall on us, your church, that it would be impossible to kind of wade through it, that we'd have to swim. It's sort of sink or swim. And, Lord, that we'd swim, and that there'd be just so much of your spirit that it would change the land around us. Lord, we pray for it. Yeah. Anything else? Well, if you get them during the afternoon, let me know, and we'll keep going. Or you might have one by the end of the talk. That would be very cool as well. It's they're much shorter talks this afternoon. You'll be thankful to hear. This morning's one went on forever, didn't it? So I want to move on to the encouragements from this passage, because God's at work, you know, bringing everything together for the right time in a particular place. And he will bring things both in your church and in our lives into out of exile, if you like. Amy Carmichael tells the most amazing story. She says she used to have this, you know, work rescuing young girls who were temple prostitutes. And she was this wacky missionary lady who went and kind of stole them and looked after them. And then they had this school run by the missionaries. And the school was so good that even though the Hindu guys didn't really want their kids influenced by Christianity, they wanted them to go to the school because it was such good education. And so this guy brought his son to the school, and the two little daughters, obviously the girls were never educated, the two little daughters were just sitting giggling on the sofa while he was being taken into the school. And one of the missionaries went and sat next to them, and just for a few minutes while the boy was being processed, she talked to them about Jesus. And they left. And 30 years later, this woman came in. So she was about 45, and she looked about 60. Her hair was grey. She looked really weary, used lady. And she said, "You will not remember me, but my name is Mimosa. And I was one of those little girls who was sitting on the couch when the missionary told us about Jesus. And I left, and I believed in him ever afterwards. And my parents tried to beat it out of me, because I didn't really know anything about Jesus. I just knew I believed in him and that he loved me. And they tried to beat it out of me and it wouldn't go. And then I got married. And then something happened that was really bad, I think, to the tribe. And so, or not tribe, but the people. And they all decided it was, they said to her husband, 'It's because your wife believes in another God, you know.' So he agreed to poison her because that was, you know, they needed to get rid of this evil out of their group. So they fed her this poison, which when you got it, you went cold at the feet and it started to come up your body. And when it reached your heart, that was it. And she was lying in bed and she felt the cold coming up her body. And she just lay there going, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.' She didn't know anything else to say. She just said, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.' And slowly the cold receded, went out of her feet. And of course, then they all thought they'd better leave her alone because he was obviously very powerful. And finally, after her husband had died, she was free to come back. And she said, could you tell me something about Jesus? Because I've just believed in him all my life, but I don't know the first thing about him. I mean, she didn't even have a Bible. And, you know, made me think about all the seeds you guys have sown over the last few years. You don't know where it's fallen, do you? But we pray it's on good ground. And this is the time, I believe this is the time in your church life to begin to say, God, we want to see it. We want to see these people coming in through the doors. We want to think, where did they come from? We want people to wake up in the night, you know, having had a dream, and just think, I need to go to Hope Church, don't we? This is the time to be crying out to God for new stuff now. You know, real, new, miraculous stuff where he's working in the life. And he will bring those things out of exile back into to real life. Our part is faithfulness. You know, take courage and work. It says God's part is to provide for you. And he will. He will provide for you. And, you know, when they kind of laid the foundations of this new little temple, it was so small, some people were crying with joy, you know, that they'd finally laid the temple foundations. The others were making a heck of a din, crying because it was so small compared to what they'd known. What would you prefer, a magnificent past history or the glory of the Lord today? You know, there is no contest. The Lord said, the glory of this tiny little house is going to be way bigger than your great big temple that you built, which was a monument to man, really. That's what we want. We want the latter glory. Well, I want the latter glory. I want it for you as well. And, you know, the final verse is about becoming a signet ring on God's hands. Zerubbabel is told, you will become like a signet ring. And you know, Zerubbabel is this lovely, humble man. He would have been king, because he was in the line of the kings of Judah, was Zerubbabel. But actually, by the time they'd come out of exile, they were fed up with kings. You know, they just got rid of them. And so he is following God, and he humbled himself. And so God says, you're going to be like a signet ring on my hand. I think I've used this illustration before with you guys. You know, a signet ring, it's got the face of the owner on it. And in the old days, you know, they pressed it into wax, didn't they? And they sealed documents with it. And you left your face on the document. And what God is... Oh, I'm so sorry. That was me just hitting the wrong bit. What God is really wanting to say through the signet ring is, you know, I want to put you on my hand. That's about as close to God as you can get. And I'm going to take you, I'll press you into the hot wax of my spirit. And then I'll press you into other people and other situations. And I'll be leaving my face behind. Every time I take you into those situations that are so difficult and so hard, and I press you in, you know, you'll be leaving the face of Jesus behind you. Isn't that amazing promise? And you know, my hairdresser down in Exeter, you know, she says she, you know, she was an addict. She was not loved by anybody. She was, you know, she was just had the most awful life. And she says, you know, little face is always beaming. You know, she says, you know, Jesus has done everything for me. He's done everything. You know, he's healed me. He's got me through this. He loves me. I've got someone who cares about me. He's helped me to get debt free with these people. You know, God is so wonderful. And, you know, she, everywhere she goes, if we had we've been doing Freedom in Christ as well. And, you know, half of Freedom in Christ was brought by her, you know, all her old dry house, all her current dry house. You know, everybody's, you must come and meet Jesus, you know, because he does the lot. They all turn up because she tells them they can't, you know, they mustn't miss it because it's so amazing. And it makes me think, oh, Lord, I am so sorry, you know, that I was like that when I first got saved. You know, I was like, you need to come to church because, you know, this is so amazing. And then we kind of just stop, don't we? And I want to pray for us today, just that God would come. And I'm wanting to encourage you to actually just move about the room and pray for one another and pray for the Spirit to come and to fall again. Because actually we so need that, don't we? We need that re-empowering of the Spirit all the time so that it rises up again in us. God, you know, I want to go and tell people. So let me pray and then we'll see what we do. Lord, you promise. You promise. You promise lots of stuff. But you promised that when your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray, you will hear their prayer and you will come and heal their land. And we're your people and we're humbling ourselves today and coming to pray. And Lord, you've heard some of your people humbling themselves already and just repenting for anything that they have done wrong. Lord, thank you for this dear church. Lord, thank you for the people in it that are willing to humble themselves and ask your forgiveness. Ask your forgiveness for when they've spoken badly about one another. Ask your forgiveness for when they've made mistakes. Ask your forgiveness for everything. Lord, we just want to be clean as whistles. We want to be so clean so that your spirit can come. Lord, we want the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. We want people to look at us and see something else. See a different, see the culture of heaven living its way out on earth. God, we so want that. We want to ask you by your spirit, Lord, would you renew hearing your voice to us again? Lord, many of us still are hearing, but some of us, we've let it go, and we want to say sorry this afternoon, and we want to hear you afresh. We want you to wake us up with dreams in the night so that we hear the voice of God again. Lord, please hear our cry. Some of us, we want to break through. Many of us, we really want to break through in that area of healing. And we believe, Lord, that it's what you have for us. So, Lord, would you make us bold to step out? It's not going to happen unless we actually lay a hand on someone. So, Lord, would you come? And would you come by your Spirit now, this afternoon, as we begin to pray for one another? Lord, we ask that your Spirit would fall. We are so open to you, Jesus. We want you. We so want you. And we ask for your Spirit to fall afresh. Lord, whether we've moved a little bit in your Holy Spirit in the past or whether we've moved loads in your Holy Spirit, we got to say there must be more, Lord. There must be more. We want more. I want more. Lord, I want so much more of your Spirit than I've had so far. And I believe there is much more to be had, Jesus. And so we cry out to you this afternoon as we pray for one another, just very simply, Lord, would you do the bit we can't do? And would you come and would you empower and refill us in a mighty way to do your works, Lord? In Jesus' name. Amen.
So I had this word during the worship and then I didn't know whether it was right to share it in that bit, but I think maybe it's right to share it now because I think it could be for an individual. When we were worshipping, I just had a picture of a castle and like in Sleep and Beauty where there was just thorns and briars and it just seemed in darkness. And I was asking the Lord about it quite a bit and just saying, God, what are you saying? And I just felt like in those briars there was just fear. It was just like there was fear all in that. And I just felt like somebody was feeling like they were, they just felt really trapped and fear was the overriding kind of feeling. And they didn't feel like there was a way out because it looked like there was no way out. But God reminded me that he has already won the battle. You know, he's already gone through the thorn and briars, literally for us. And that when Sleeping Beauty's release, it's just by the kiss of the prince, it's like his love. And I just felt like what you needed today was just to receive his love, just to know that he loves you. And you know, the verse, there is no fear in love, you know, and perfect love casts out all fear. So I just felt like it was a matter of receiving his love and then rising up and not coming under it, but actually that there is a responsibility in you to receive that and then rise up.
Brilliant. Actually, I'm speaking about Sleeping Beauty very shortly. Okay, let's stand up and invite the Spirit. And then when I say so, just start moving around and start praying for one another. Don't forget these guys over here either. We want to all just be full of your Spirit. Lord, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, just come and fill us. Lord, just as we've heard the wind sort of whistling around the building several times when we stood to pray, Lord, we want the wind of the Spirit, Lord, to come and bend us to your will, Lord. Jesus, come. Spirit of God. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you. I just encourage you now to just go and pray for somebody. Make sure everyone's just got someone that's praying for more of the Spirit now. Just start to move about.
Just before we do that, one thing that I felt that the Lord was saying to me was encouragement, and then you said it a few times, so that just confirmed it to me. And I think he's saying, even if you don't know what to pray for someone, ask him this question: in what way do you want me to bring encouragement to this person? So when we're praying for each other, I really think that God really wants to bring encouragement to us, because the enemy spends so much time discouraging us. We really, really need to get good at encouraging each other and finding, because the Lord always wants to encourage us, so I believe he always wants to say something encouraging to each other.
Feel free to just bring your prayers slowly to an end, and there's going to be another session after this, so maybe we'll have a break. I'll finish your praying, and then we'll have a break for, let's say, 20 minutes, and then we'll come back together at about 5 to 3. Yeah.